I know, you know, we've been talking about, started in May here. Get that away from you. We've been sharing something about money, and that's okay. And just getting all this stuff out of the way. But I remember when Lois and I went, I think we just had Sally and Ruth. So Grace came 10 years later, so if you want to know what the difference is there. And we were sitting there talking to our attorney about a will. And, of course, I'm a planner, so I not only had what I wanted them to do, whoever with the godparents and the people, in case something happened to us, who they were going to go to, but I had it planned out what I wanted to do, and I had it planned out what I wanted to do with all the money that they were going to have, and I planned out all this stuff. And I remember the attorney sat there and he goes, because we wanted this stuff in the will. I did. And and so the attorney sat there and he goes, you know, there's really no reason to put that in your will. He says, if you can't trust these people with your money, why in the world are you letting them have your kids? And I thought, there's such truth in that. So we skipped all that. I said, yep, that makes sense to me. But going back to that statement and the fact that there's a stewardship that God has given us. And money is just one, it's a tool. It's just one thing. There's so many other things we're stewards of. You know, decisions we make, life, a big one, which we just saw, was people. You know, our kids, if you have kids, and if you don't have kids, the people God has put in your life. There's a verse in Acts 16, and it basically says that God has appointed for you when you were supposed to live and where you were supposed to live. He's appointed that for us. That's why you're in here, at least right now. It doesn't mean that he isn't going to lead you someplace else, but he started that. So there's a sense in that time frame that he's also got people that he's going to put in your life. And there's a stewardship responsibility to that. There's things that when we talk about steward, it's that he's put them in and how we care for them and how we respond to them. And it's something, and again, money is just one thing. There's so many other things in our life, our time, our bodies, our the people. There's so much that he's given us a stewardship over. And I know there's a handout we passed out, and there's a lot of information on there. And we're not going to go over all that today. But I just want to share just a couple moments of a key of this whole money issue. I don't know if this is going to start there or not. It doesn't matter. There's a verse in Matthew chapter 6. And in this stewardship, there were four areas. The areas were heart, health, habits, and hope. And we begin to say, why did we start with heart? Because the heart is where everything flows from. And Proverbs chapter 4, there's a scripture that Solomon, who was anointed by God with wisdom, the issue that happened is he did not steward that wisdom in a good way. He stewarded enough for a while there, but I was sharing with Bill Bowles yesterday. I don't know if you guys ever heard of a man named Ed Cole. Ed Cole was pretty much the founder, I would say, or the pioneer of men's ministry in the U.S. He was one of the main people that launched a lot of that. He used to speak a lot in Promise Keepers, Crusades. But Ed Cole, who was in this article, was basically referring to a president, and I'll let you guess who that is. But he was saying that your gifting can take you places where your character cannot sustain you. And the same thing with Solomon. Solomon had this great gifting of wisdom, but his character began to falter. And it's one thing with, you know, we might want more of this and want more of that, but there's a grace on each one of us to carry and to have what God's given us. In Matthew 6, there we go. I'll get up to Matthew, what I'm talking about real quick. It says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So one of the questions is, where is our treasure? And why has that become our treasure? I look back on my childhood and I think about things that I used to want to do. And then I realize, well, I really didn't like those things. But why did I used to want to do them? It's because in that culture that I was raised in, that's what everybody wanted to do. So if everybody wanted to do that, that must be what you're supposed to do. I mean, you wanted to go out and kill everything that's in the outdoors. Every wildlife, you just want to shoot things. And you want to catch, this is the culture. And you wanted to hunt. And you wanted, there's nothing wrong with that. But it was like a major, this was like a major thing in our, in one side of the family. You know, hunting and fishing and sports and all this stuff. And there was nothing wrong with that. But that doesn't necessarily mean that was my treasure. And the Holy Spirit had to help me define what my treasure was. Who am I? The verse on in Matthew there, the next verse says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So the challenge then for me is, Lord, what is the light within me? And where did that light come from? I mean, you could go, I was talking to somebody, I don't know who it was, but, well, I did know who it was when I was talking to him, but I don't know, remember now. But I was talking to them. But we were talking about this, and I said, you know, when you consider, and I want to get into a lot of things, but when you consider the thought pattern of people, and I look at decisions, there's some decisions being made in our nation. And I'm thinking, what? Where is this coming from? And I go back to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, to me, is the foundation of decision making of what goes on in our nation. If you want to read Romans chapter 1, it's great. Just so you know, Romans, the book of Romans is considered the constitution of Christianity. So it's a great book to read. But if you read Romans 1, it says that the reason people start going off from the light or making good decisions is because they failed to acknowledge God for who he is and walk in the truth. And when you begin to not acknowledge him and worship him for who he is and keep walking the truth, you're going to get off. You're going to get, compass points north. You want your compass to point in the right direction. Worship him. Acknowledge him for who he really is and walk in the truth. And in that, you'll be walking in the light. The thing is that even myself, without the Holy Spirit, it's not just a legalism. It's not just I read the Bible and all of a sudden, boom, I'm fixed. Everything's light. It's a process. And it's been going on for a long time. I got saved 40 years ago or so. And God is still processing me. There's still things that he's helping walk in the light. Because we live in a world. And there's all kinds of culture. There's all kinds of things coming out. Decisions we make in our flesh and the world and the devil. Don't think he's out of the picture. You know, the things that's like Paul said. You know, we're not battling against flesh and blood. We're battling against principalities, powers of darkness. Who basically their goal is to destroy mankind. They don't care. And all this, when you begin to wonder where this come from, it basically started from the darkness, the principalities of power. So prayer, we pray against that. But it's realizing we have that, but we have Jesus and the Holy Spirit that continues to help us. And we have one another. You know, don't shortchange the fact of being around one another. That's why the Apostle Paul encouraged so much the importance of not forsaking one another. Because if I'm never around the light in you, how am I going to know about the light in me? If I don't see what's in one another. I know it's different and we're challenged and there's different beliefs and we have all these denominations. We have all kinds of different. I know in this church itself, I believe every single one of us, none of us agree on everything we believe in. We all have different perspectives or things. But we have Jesus. As long as we focus on him, as long as we keep that, we're walking the right way, we're going to end up having that light. So really, the whole essence of to me, with whether it's money, time, all that, is stewardship. And the basic bottom line of stewardship comes from the premise of God owns it all, and I am manager of his resources. And that's not just money. That's my life. That's my decisions. That's how I respond to you when you really upset me. So how am I going to steward my emotions back? Do I take them and says, well, I'm going to let them have it. I'm going to tell them what I feel, what I think. It's who I am. I'm going to share this. But who's in control? Am I stewarding that, or am I allowing God to steward that? And that's a challenge. Has anybody ever been challenged like that? Yeah, that's a challenge that we and does it just happen once in life? No. Can it happen more than once in a day? Yeah. It can happen all the time that we're constantly making decisions of steward. And so there's this whole aspect of submission to God. And I know in the world, the word submission seems like it's a bad taste. But when you consider who we're submitting to, it's like when Alan and Andy were doing up here and sharing about their new group, a coach. Has anybody ever had a coach in your life? You ever had a coach that was really good, though? I mean, not just the coach was yelling, screaming, and, you know, all that kind of stuff, but a coach that was really investing in you as a person, wanted you to succeed, was mentoring you, helping you. You knew this coach cared for you. You knew this coach would do anything for you. That's our Savior Jesus. That's who we have as our coach. So it's a lot easier to submit to someone and listen to someone when you know, first of all, they know everything. Second of all, the essence of who they are is love. And they are pure-hearted. There's not one single bad, negative thought in the heart of God. The Bible says there is no darkness in him at all. No evil. Nothing. So everything God does for us is so pure and so full of love that his intention. So it makes it much easier when we think about submitting to him. Again, we go back to light and darkness. Because our perception of God will decide if we're going to submit to him. If we think, well, I'm not going to be a Christian. I'm not going to submit to God because all it's got is a bunch of rules and a bunch of things. And I've shared this before. That's why I didn't want to become a Christian. I thought, I already mess up. Why do I need more things to mess up? I mean, why do I need a new list? I already got my list. Until I realized, well, I didn't realize it. The Holy Spirit helped me to see it, that it's a relationship with him. And he's going to help me as a good coach. He's going to help me make those decisions. You ever made a mistake? Who has it? Once you became a Christian, messed up? Yeah. Who messed up more than once? Who messed up this last week? Aren't you glad we have a loving, forgiving Savior who even tells us in his word, you know what? If you mess up, come on back. Years ago, I read this article. You guys ever heard David Wilkerson? David Wilkerson worked with gangs out in New York City. And he said the biggest struggle that these gang members had, because they were engulfed in gang fighting and drugs and everything else. I mean, it was just violence. Their life was, that's what they were raised in. That's the light that they had to shine in their life was the culture, was violence. And he said, so the Holy Spirit would come in and just change them. You know, change. You know, the Holy Spirit doesn't make you a wimpy weak. The Holy Spirit gives you courage and makes you strong. But he said the biggest challenge that these gang members would have is once they would mess up, they felt that's it. They'd quit. And he said the biggest thing he had to get into them is that get back up, keep going. Get up again and keep going. There's a verse in Proverbs that said, the righteous fall seven times, they'll get back up. There's something about the Holy Spirit and living with the Holy Spirit. If we listen and learn to tune in, he's going to say, get back up and keep going. Get back up. We mess up stewarding something. We mess up. I messed up stuff. I'm sure I'm not going to ask him, but I'm sure if you ask my family, I messed up stewarding this week, something. And so, but you know what? They get back up and keep going. That's part of God's family, is that we don't just chuck someone because something messed up. If we could have one of the musicians come on up here, please. The rest of the stuff you can read on your paper. And I know we'll be sharing some next week. If we could go ahead and stand. Just a couple commitments I just ask you to consider. One is a commitment to reconsider that you are a steward. That we are a steward. We're not owners. We're a steward of our life. We're a steward of our time. We're a steward of the people he's given us. We're a steward of the jobs he's given us, our friends, the stuff he's given us. We're stewards. We're stewards of the understanding that God gives us of who he is. Because he does that. He's given me understanding, and now I need to steward. What do I do with this, God? What do I do with the revelation that what you call me to be or call me to do? What do I do with this? And it's easy to cast that off. Oh, I do, but that it's just natural. It's our natural being to cast that off. But the Holy Spirit wants us not to be in our just natural, because he created us to be a spirit being. Because we are a spirit who has a soul and lives in a body. That's what we really are eternally. Your body is going to go and be gone someday. Turn to dust. But your spirit, your soul is going to live forever somewhere. And so he's given us to be a steward. And the second commitment is that, are we willing to listen to the Holy Spirit relating to that area? Being a steward is not just coming up with a great plan. It's not just taking Dave Ramsey's course on finances or somebody's course on time management or reading a good book on people relationships. It's listening to the Holy Spirit. Because when he owns it all, it's listening what he wants to do. So I'd like us if we just take a moment and pray. And we're just going to welcome God's light to become our light. So Father, we just thank you for your love for us. We thank you for this day and for one another, God, that your idea for family. And Lord, we just stand against a spirit of fear that would keep us from approaching you, keep us from the things you call us to do. Those of us who've even been raised in a culture of fear, God, where we're even our hearts have become hard and we're wanting just to, seems like we have to fight all the time. But Lord, we just welcome for you to bring peace and you to bring your light in us, Lord, that we're making sure we're fighting the right things, Lord. We're fighting, Lord, not one another and people, God, but fighting for you and fighting the enemy of this principalities and powers, God, and fighting in prayer and fighting in love, God, and fighting for those who can't fight for themselves, Lord. We just welcome that we would give us that light, that we see you for who you really are. Jesus, you said you came that we may have life and have it to the fullest. You came to set us free. We welcome, God, just a new sense and understanding what freedom really is, Lord. What freedom really is. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name.